ahead.
Welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church in Amati, California. I'm here joined by the fundamentalists in our church. We have Brother Jacob Lands, Brother Marcus Sanchez, sorry. I was going to call you Sandy for some reason. Brother Hightop Mason, Brother Adam Kinzari. And so we're looking forward to a great podcast this evening. We've got some various topics, very interesting topics to discuss this tonight. And so we're looking forward to it. Brother Marcos, hey, you're engaged.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see that ring.
That's a brown hand.
It's not even the right hand.
Brother Marcos Sanchez is engaged.
Did
we mention that in the last podcast?
No.
No, we didn't talk about
that. I wasn't engaged yet.
You weren't engaged yet at that time. But now you have engaged.
Yeah.
Engaged in what?
Engaged in pre...
He's betrothed.
He's betrothed. Yeah.
Betrothed?
He has been betrothed.
A trough is a thing like pigs eat out of. Yeah. You're eating out of troughs?
That's a trough.
Yeah, it's a trough.
Marcos's fiance...
Is that what they call it in Canada?
It's from Texas.
Yep.
And...
But she's more West Coast than she is Texan.
She's more West Side?
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yep. Adam's going to be a first-time dad.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm going to be a first-time husband, and you're going to be a first-time dad.
Well, that's good that you're going to be a first-time husband.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad that he's going to be a first-time husband, dad, too, and husband.
Bro, being a dad is a trip. Yeah. The other day, my wife got pooped on. Yeah. And then we were like panicking.
How did that happen?
How that happened? Babies do that, man.
It came out of the diaper. Yeah. So we're panicking, getting her changed, and trying to get her ready for a bath. I'm holding her, and she pees on me. That's what happens.
But hey, you know what? If your baby is breastfed, I don't know if this is 100% true, but. For babies, their urine is very sterilized, so it's not unclean. I don't know if that's whether they're breastfed or not. I can't remember.
I heard that's for, like, all pee everywhere. Like, all pee is sterile, as in it doesn't have, like, any... Like, you can drink it, but...
What the heck?
I hear a lot of martial arts guys drink their pee.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, you never heard about Bear Grylls drinking his own pee and, like,
I've heard that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in a survival fake, bro. Situation.
Yeah, but, like, the point is...
Bear Grylls is not fake, Ike. What do you mean it's fake?
I saw the videos. He's fake.
How is he fake?
Because they pan the camera to the left and you see, like, he's right next to a major highway.
He does it on purpose, though.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Wait. What part of the Bear Grylls show series is fake? What part is it? What part is fake?
Okay, number one, he has a whole camera crew with him, doesn't he?
Obviously.
Yes.
But there's no way he's putting himself in that kind of danger. I mean, he'll drink piss and stuff. That's
real.
That's real.
Here's the thing.
That makes it even worse. Like, everything else is fake, but he has to...
Here's the thing.
That has to be real.
Like, I wouldn't even care if he actually went to a hotel every night. Because all the stuff that he did on camera, here's the thing, all the stuff that he did on camera, he actually did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like a stunt double or something.
Because I think he even like clarifies, he's like, hey, I'm doing this so you can learn how to survive.
Yeah, people want him to just like, nah, you gotta say, when are you going to sleep there?
Yeah.
Well, there is like a better version.
Hike.
He's just doing lemonade.
Survivor Man sucks. Are you going to talk about Survivor Man?
He's a man survivor.
I was gonna talk about Les Stroud. I don't know if that's Survivor Man.
Hold on, we can't have like four guys talking at the same time because then it's just like
mine's conversation more important. But like, there's like a better version of Bear Grylls called Les Stroud. He's a Canadian guy.
No.
He's better.
For sure.
For sure, he's not better.
Well, who do you trust more to be a Survivor Man? Some guy who's got to like survive in like negative 40 degree temperatures and stuff like that, because that's what Les Stroud does, and he does it like he films himself.
Bro, I live in California.
Bear Grylls is
never
going to
be the case.
No, dude, Bear Grylls is nothing compared to Les Stroud.
I've never even heard of that guy. Yeah, everyone's heard of Bear Grylls.
Yeah, because he's a reality TV star.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so he's not,
because the guy, you know, he drank his own piss, he ate rattlesnakes.
Didn't he drink?
He
like,
showed me what plants give me vitamin C.
None of them.
Vitamin C.
None of them.
Huh?
None of them.
Or maybe it wasn't plants. It was like some sort of berry.
You're never going to remember that stuff. I mean, who carries reruns with them?
You got the series. You could pop them in.
If I'm ever in a survival situation, I'm going to look up Bear Grylls on YouTube.
The thing is, people say he's fake, but he's like, what part are you talking about? Well, he didn't really stay there. I was like, yeah, I don't care. But he actually ate the rattlesnake. He did. He built that thing. He started the fire. You know, all those things he did.
He ate caterpillars.
It's like half real. It's not like all real though, because they present it in a way that it shows him like staying there the whole night or whatever. Like he built a shelter, but he doesn't actually sleep in that shelter. So he's not actually going. He's like doing the easy parts of survivalism, but he's not doing the hard parts. Whereas Les Stroud is doing the hard parts.
But he built the shelter.
Building a shelter, dude. I built a shelter like in a sandbox when I was like 5 years old. It's not hard.
It wouldn't withstand
and look at
the elements.
Look how you came
a
out.
A sand, bro. Come on, a sandbox.
See, don't you know what the Bible says?
Yeah,
you built your house upon the sand.
I mean,
strike one. Good night. You need to. I'm gonna get you some Bear Grylls shows.
What happened to it?
And a Bible. So,
do you know how to build an igloo?
I actually do.
Igloos are cool.
I know. They're really cool, but it gets really, really hot.
Pun intended, or what?
Oh yeah.
It gets really, really hot inside of an igloo. The way I built it.
What? It gets hot?
It gets hot. It's like hotter inside the igloo than outside. It gets really hot so much that you have to put
Canadians
holes in
are
it
weird,
to cool
huh?
it down.
It's like really. Stuff is just weird in Canada. So what is it?
I built an igloo and I slept in
do
it.
Do all Canadians
three nights.
Live in igloos?
Three nights I slept in an igloo.
You built an igloo and did you film it?
Oh, well, no, I did it. This was no, I didn't. But this was for.
Are you laughing, Mike?
It was yeah, basically.
So once you turn 13, you gotta go into the woods.
It's like the Canadian bar mitzvah.
Find your own maple syrup.
It's a rite of passage.
So how big was the igloo?
It could fit six guys basically.
Oh dang!
Yeah, so it was like I'd say it's the size of the
Canadian table. Guys.
Marcos, last I checked, you're shorter than me, so I don't know where you're going with that. But
wait, did you say it was the size of this table?
Yeah, it was like from there to there, and like from there to there. It was like like 6 feet by 6 feet, or like 8 feet by 8 feet, something like that.
He's a six by.
But
six
but we it
six.
Took like 8 hours to build, and it's cool.
Take us through the process. How did you build an igloo?
Did okay. you have the inner and outer core?
Kind of. Actually, that's kind of how it works. So you don't build it out of ice. You just build it out of snow. And what we had were these
this
like
is cool. This is cool.
Snow is not
this
ice.
Is cool,
snow
no,
is
but
not ice.
The cool thing. Well, keep going.
Well,
are you joking?
We have these little like just plastic bins that we had. We had two or three, and you.
What are those?
You put a bunch of snow into these plastic. Are you okay?
What's he laughing at?
He said it in a way like we don't have plastic bins here in America.
Well, in case
go
you
on,
didn't know,
on,
it was
on,
a
dude,
plastic bin, and you pack it in with snow.
All right.
And oh you have to God. Pack it in like really, really deep. You have to like take it and step on it and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then so you start building it in like a circle. So you first you build the base, and then you fill in the base full of those blocks. So you have one base. And then you
So once you pack it in, you basically turn it upside down.
Yeah, and you just place it.
So it's almost
it.
Like building a sandcastle or what?
Yeah, kind of.
It was like bricks, snow bricks.
Yeah, they're bricks. They turn into bricks. And they're really, really hard. Because what happens is, so you build the base out of like these blocks. And then you build on top of it into like a dome. It takes like 8 hours. It takes a long time. But after that, you have to go into the igloo.
He doesn't realize, sorry, Adam. He doesn't realize that the camera is like literally watching him the entire time.
No, I got.
Yeah, I'm the one.
So
talking.
It takes 8 hours to build the igloo.
Yeah, but then you have to go inside the igloo to warm up and melt the ice.
Yeah.
Inside the igloo.
So it seals it off.
Yeah, it seals it off. So it becomes like no air can go in or out of this ice. So the only place air can get in is through the little entrance you make, right?
How do you make the entrance?
It's just so like you have like the big dome, right? Which is like it's like 4 or 5 feet high,
mm-hmm.
And then you have like just a small little archway out of these blocks,
mm-hmm.
And that's just basically the entrance. And you have to kind of like squeeze through, right?
So I got a question before you move on. As you build a dome of ice, I mean, do you have smaller bins that you have to use, or is it just the same size?
It's the same size bin, and what you do is like if there's
how do you curve it so it doesn't like collapse?
Well, you can build. That's the cool thing. You can build like. Say you have like a block, like just on a base here, you can build it slightly offset, and you can just keep doing that to form a dome.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
that's how like the Romans made arches, basically. So like the way Romans made arches and like the Eskimos made igloos was it basically the same technology, the same architectural technology.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but then if there's any cracks in the igloo, you just fill it up with snow, and then you have to go inside and stay inside so it melts the ice. But a lot of
So when you say you go inside, are you talking about your body heat is what creates?
Yeah, yeah, okay, exactly. Because it's like a blanket. It's a completely insulated area. And unfortunately, a lot of times what happens is people will go to sleep and it'll snow like a lot. and it'll fill in that small little entrance you made. And people will just suffocate to death in an igloo.
Oh, wow.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot to people who are, like, aren't experienced, right? Or, like, sleeping in igloos.
They can't dig their way out.
Well, it's not even about digging their way out. It's just they die in their sleep just because they're running out of oxygen.
Oh, man.
Because it just fills up with carbon dioxide, and it doesn't have anywhere to go. So it's
basically, how do you prevent that?
So the way you prevent that is you have to poke little holes into your igloo. Just naturally. In, like, four areas. And you also have to do –
on the top of the dome?
On the top of the dome, yeah.
Okay.
And you have to make sure the entrance is deeper than the igloo itself. So you have a base and, like, a foot down. The entrance would be like this. So you'd enter into the igloo, and then it would go up.
Oh, I see.
So that way, even if it snows, it doesn't fill up the entrance, basically.
I see. So you gotta poke these air holes, yeah, basically.
Or else you'll suffocate.
What do you poke it with? Just a knife?
A stick. Knife, whatever you got. Yeah. But it's actually, it gets really, really hot in an igloo at night. Because I slept in that igloo with, like, four other guys. And you wouldn't even be able to tell you were in, like, sub-degree weathers. Because it feels like there's, like, a fireplace right next to you because it's so insulated.
Wow.
Yeah. They were actually going to build ships out of, like, ice in World War II. Out of ice and, like, sawdust. It was called pyrite or something like that. And because it's such a strong material, they were going to build ships out of it. But then they just...
Canadians?
No, I think it was the British. Actually, it might have been Canadians. Yeah, it was the Canadians.
Probably Canadians.
Yeah.
Nice ice ships.
Yeah, but ice.
Out of maple syrup? Ice syrup. Powered by maple syrup.
That was their pitch.
You can smell them coming from a mile away.
Maple syrup.
They pitched.
They were going to build ships out of ice powered by maple syrup, but the enemies would know they would come a mile away.
It smells like pancakes.
Smell pancakes. It's the Canadians.
Did you know the $100 bill in Canada smells like maple syrup? Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. I don't know if it's true or not.
Because
I talked to a Canadian, he says it's not true.
I didn't think it was true until I actually got a $100 bill and smelt it, and it smelt like maple syrup. And
did
I and
you want to believe?
Do you guys like snort maple syrup or something?
Here's the thing: like I did, I did it like blind. So like I put like a blindfold on. My friend said, "Okay, smell this one," and I like that smells like a $20 bill. And then smell this one. This smells like a $100 bill. So the government of Canada says, yeah, it was very scientific. But the government of Canada says they don't make the $100 bill smell like maple syrup, but it does. So they're lying. And I don't know why they lie.
It's a big
that.
Conspiracy.
Yeah. It's like very weird. It's very weird.
I talked to a Canadian. He says that's not true.
Yeah, he's probably working for the government.
He's in the.
He's part of the cover up. I think so anyway.
Yeah, because I mean, because the conspiracy is if there's $100 bills that smell like maple, I mean what. I mean,
it would topple
possibilities are endless. Right?
It would topple the legitimacy of the Canadian
so
government.
So here's like 9/11, and here's like the maple syrup.
Yeah, it's up there.
Bills.
Yeah. If it was ever discovered that the $100 bills actually smelled like maple syrup, Canada wouldn't recover.
So igloos. That's pretty interesting regarding the igloos.
Yeah.
It gets pretty hot in there, huh?
Yeah.
It's really pretty amazing, actually.
It is. You don't even need a sleeping bag or nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of need one just because you don't want your butt touching ice all night because it'll melt and your butt will get stuck to the ice. But
so
you technically don't need one.
Because heat rises, basically, it seals off the top or whatever.
Yeah, seals off the top.
But it doesn't melt the ice that you're sitting on?
Well, your body heat will melt the ice that you're sitting on. But it's the coldness because the ground is colder than the air above it. So the coldness of the ground will, like, even if it melts the ice under you, it'll automatically freeze it.
Does it get hot enough to, like, where it's melting the dome where it drips?
Where it won't survive? If the temperature outside is hot enough, it will. But at that point, you don't really need the igloo. So, yeah, the point of igloos is to
Are you
sit.
Getting choked up just thinking about it?
I lost my friend.
He suffocated in the igloo.
Just one moment. One moment, please.
Many a Canuck have died.
That is true. A lot of people have died in igloos.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I do it again. Yep.
I just find it cool that it just seals itself. Like,
yeah.
That's really cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. It's kind of scary, though, if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of kids die because, like, they need, like, more oxygen, and they're smaller, and, most of the oxygen is, like, up like higher up than the because carbon dioxide sinks.
Yeah.
So if you're smaller, you have like less access to oxygen. So a lot of kids, like the adult, will survive the night because they're like bigger and they can like breathe the oxygen up there. But a lot of kids will just die. So they'll wake up and the kid is just dead. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Don't they have like motels in Canada?
They have igloo motels.
Igloo motels? Don't they have an igloo hotel?
I've actually seen like an ice hotel. Ice hotels.
Yeah.
In Canada?
No.
Like you've seen it?
No, it's like in Norway.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think that's just a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hotel.
So there's a mass exodus out of California right now because of all the craziness that's going on. You guys have heard about that?
What's going on?
Yeah, when people tell me like, "Hey, there's fires in California," I'm like, "There's a fire in California?"
California, yeah.
What's that? California's on fire. Here's the thing: like, California burns every year. Now, obviously, this year is the worst.
Yeah.
But be honest, has it affected any of you at all?
Well, I was working out today, and it was really like hard on my lungs. But that's about it.
Yeah, is it because you're working out though? Yeah. Maybe it's because you're out of shape.
Maybe it's
because
you're fat.
Yeah, Adam. It's because I'm fat.
But doesn't that happen to you when it's no fire?
Because I was working out before that, like a month ago, and it didn't feel like I was like smoking. You know, like I had smoked a pack of cigarettes. So, yeah.
But today it felt like that.
Yeah, today it felt like that.
I've actually like my entire life, I've never been affected by the fires.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, doesn't it affect like Northern California more?
Yeah, but there's always been fires here though as well, okay. In Southern California,
mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it's just because. Well, first I think it affects more people who have like asthma, and then secondly, I think I'm used to all the pollution.
Yeah,
the smog.
So it's just part of like you know. I think I would have a hard time breathing if I didn't have the fires. Just put it that way.
When you were a kid, was there like a lot of smog in California? Was that before your time?
It was worse back then, wasn't it?
These I don't know if it was worse so or, but I know there was smog though.
Because of the smog or because of the
Because of smog.
What changed?
Because I remember my mom. She grew up here, and she would have to. Some days she wouldn't be able to play outside because smog alerts or something. In the '70s and over here in Baldwin Park.
Mm-hmm. What changed? Why is there like no smog anymore?
I don't know. Yeah. Hi, just come over here. Just sit down. Are you laughing at the ice cream joke?
Do we have to call a substitution for Hike or something?
He's laughing at his own joke. He really thinks it was that funny.
I mean, it wasn't that funny.
It was like a 5 out of 10.
It was funny, but it wasn't. He just got a laughing spell is what it is.
Yeah.
But I think it's just more so people are leaving not because of the fires, but because of the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And all COVID the laws stuff. And legislations that are being passed. So a lot of people are leaving. Like you hear about Joe Rogan, he's gone
to Texas.
Yeah, he's going to Texas. He already left, I think. I mean, that doesn't really bother me a whole lot. The fact that people are leaving California, for me, it's just like, as Christians, if you're here, you just got to recognize that this is like the forefront, you know. And there's still a lot of people to reach here. Like if California was just completely unreceptive, it just became so ungodly to the point where people were not receptive to the gospel anymore, and it became like Canada. You know, at that point, maybe I would consider moving. But what are you getting mad about, man?
I'm not getting mad.
I see your face.
I agree. Canada sucks.
If it got to that point, then I would definitely consider moving. But I just don't see a good enough reason to leave. Most people who leave, they leave not for Christian reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they're like just worried about politics and like gun laws or stuff like that.
Yeah, gun laws and the laws that are being passed. Obviously, it's California's wicked, and God is burning California.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Christians who are on the forefront fighting the spiritual battle are placed in Goshen, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, where God is sending the plagues, but God's people are not affected by the plagues. You know. And the reason maybe some of them are affected by the plagues is because they're with the Egyptians.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like North Valley and all that. People want to stand up for them.
They're trusting in Egypt.
Yeah, they're trusting in Egypt. So.
Well, even like historically, like looking at that, Christians, if they were being like persecuted somewhere, the first thing would not be to like just run away.
Yeah.
Right? The first thing would be like, if California is so bad, you should like even like politically or whatever, you should stay and try and change it.
Right.
Well,
even from a political standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But all these people who are just kind of like giving up, there's like, oh, there's no hope. I'll just ride it out and like in like Oklahoma or something in the wheat fields for another 40 years. Yourself.
You're always going to be running then.
Yeah.
It's like they run off to like a red state. Yeah. You know? But you know, California used to be a red state. It was. And Texas used to be a blue state. Now it's like switched.
Yeah. I don't think Texas was ever, yeah, was like that was like a super long time ago. Yeah. Like California was a red state up until like Reagan, which was only like 30 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm. But in the 70s, Texas was a blue state.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Governor Newsom said that California is simply
America in the future.
America fast forward.
Yeah.
Newsom said that?
Yes.
So basically, in what context, saying, like,
in the context of like everything that's going on, he's basically saying like, you know, because people are criticizing him for his decisions and the things that he's doing the lockdown, and he's basically saying like, no matter where you go, it's gonna be just like California one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're just ahead
because of California's influence.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Because like, as goes California, so goes the rest of the nation.
Right. Like San Francisco. So Hollywood.
Obviously, I hate the fact that he says that, and I hate everything that he says. But the thing is it's true to a certain extent. You know, you can't run. I think you posted that. You're running from Babylon to Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Babylon light or Babylon in like 30 years or whatever.
Yeah. Or maybe even sooner than that.
Yeah. You run to another state and then everyone there at that state is like watching TV and like they're listening to Babylon. Yeah. They're listening to Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's like what difference is it?
What difference is it? And it's going to all be destroyed anyways. And it's all going to be the same at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, I just don't see a purpose in running from California, because the battle's here, we're winning souls here, we got a great church here, and in my opinion, no matter where you go, as long as you're serving God, you should be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because it brings to mind like the story in Jeremiah. I forgot what chapter it was, but like these people come up to Jeremiah, it's like, hey, whatever the Lord tells you, we'll do. And he tells them basically, hey, God said don't go down to Egypt, and then they rebuke Jeremiah, like, we're going down to Egypt. Yeah. And God tells them, like, hey, if you go down to Egypt, you're gonna be slain by the sword, by the pestilence. Yep. You know, Egypt's still getting attacked.
Yeah.
You know, Babylon's still coming to Egypt. Yeah. It's like, just let your life be a prey. That's what
you know. How are the fires doing right now?
What?
The fires. Like,
are they still burning? I feel like it's like clear enough.
I can't even
I think
smell.
It's clear enough because even outside right now, it doesn't look as bad. I know Northern California is bad.
Yeah.
And obviously, God's burning it because of the stupid law that they passed regarding pedophiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
But the weird thing with that is like, even like politically, like, yeah, California's pretty bad and it's like liberal or whatever. But these people who are like running to like conservative places, like in the South or like, you know, like Georgia or whatever. It's really funny because like they'll go there and say like, oh, it's very majority Christian. Like the South is like mostly Baptist, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing with that is like, it's kind of like Mexico, how like every Mexican is Catholic. Basically, yeah. Whether or not they're just cradle Catholics, it's the same thing in the South, basically.
Right, yeah.
Like, I have a friend who goes knocking doors in Georgia. He goes to Pastor Berzin's church, and he runs into Baptists every day. Or not every day, but every time he goes soul winning.
They say they're saved.
Yeah. He tells them, yeah, we're Baptist. My family's Baptist. We go to, like, this Baptist church down the road. And he says, like, 80% of the time, 90% of the time, the people who call themselves Baptist aren't even saved.
Yeah.
Whereas when you run into, like, Baptists, like, here in, like, the West Coast, at least for me, the times that I've run into like Baptists, like they've usually been saved.
Yeah.
They've been saved people, or they just go to an old IFB church or something like that. But like in the South, it's worse because it's like, I think they're getting judged for that.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For like that apostasy.
Hey, I'm preaching on that. You got to.
Can I not talk about that?
No, you can go. That's actually my sermon for the Fundamentalist Conference.
Mm. Ooh, I'm preaching on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ripping on the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
It's about to burst. It already has burst.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unto whom much is much is given.
Of him shall be much required. That'll probably be my text verse.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, you have, like, women preachers out there. People are not even saved. They claim to be Baptist. You have churches on every corner, you know.
Did you see recently that the Southern Baptist Convention is renaming itself? I think that was today. They're renaming themselves the General Baptist
Assembly.
No, the Baptist Commissioner or something, the General Baptist Commission. But the reason they're doing that is because they're taking out the Southern in the name because of like BLM pressure. Because like, oh, they're Southern Baptists. These are like slave owners. Because it was the same convention that
you
like
weaklings.
Yeah. So they're basically capitulating the biggest. Because
I'm gonna start calling ourselves the West Side Baptist.
Yeah. But yeah, basically the biggest denomination in America, right? they just completely capitulated to BLM. They're like, oh, we'll take it out of our name.
That's kind of what they're known for, is just capitulating to everything.
Yeah, IFB figured that out like 80 years ago.
That's why they came out of that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, California is being judged by God. No one is denying that. It's burning. But you know what? If you're serving God and you're doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, you got nothing to worry about. The plagues aren't going to hit you, in my opinion, because God wants to preserve his people. And he wants to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect with him, the Bible says. So I think it's important that during times like this, we get right with God. If you're not right with God, we make sure that we continue to read God's word. We're soul winning. We're doing that which is pleasing in his sight so that we can maintain God's blessing upon our lives. You know, we're not affected by the fires. We're not affected by the economic situations, about the legislations and all the, these unlawful things that they're passing. We're not affected by them. And I believe God can do that. You know, if God protected, you know, the Hebrews from those crazy plagues that were coming down upon Egypt.
Right.
I mean, this is nothing compared to those plagues.
Yeah.
We're not even affected.
Kind of lose sight of that.
Like, and I know people are saying like, oh, people purposely started those fires and all these things or whatever.
It doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. It's still God's judgment.
Yeah. Still fire. You know?
Fire still Nebuchadnezzar fire. Purposely invaded Israel. So
exactly. That's right. Yeah.
But God still chose him to do it.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar purposely went and took Israel captive.
Yeah.
But God still chose Nebuchadnezzar to do that. So
just really a test of faith.
Absolutely.
It's easy to read the Old Testament and then like think to myself, oh, how come like this guy or the nation at the time didn't have enough faith? It's so easy, like hindsight is 20/20. But then the same applies today.
Yeah.
Well, what about me?
You know? And here's the thing. It's important that we exercise faith for our children. Because the greatest thing you can leave your children is strong faith. You know what I mean? So it's important that your children see that in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties, that you stand your ground and you serve God no matter what, because that actually instills faith in them. And you're not going to be around forever. So that's the greatest thing you can leave them is strong faith. Mm-hmm. You want your children to know, like, well, my dad was here when, in the midst of all this nonsense, and he still served God. I can do the same, you know? I think John Sieber put it best. He said that is that Satan is using these people, like the higher-ups and the Governor Newsom and all that, to try to scare Christians from leaving California because he knows how receptive people are in California. So if he can get all of the soul winners out of California, he can hinder the work of God, you know? But it's okay because, you know.
Other places need soul winners too, right?
Other places need soul winners. And you know what? Gideon, you know, did a great work with 300 men.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's the remnant that God uses. 7,000 prophets who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Mm-hmm. So you want to check these real quick? But anyways, yeah, there's a mass exodus in California. Actually, I don't even know if there's a mass exodus.
I've actually heard that it's a lot worse in New York.
No,
a lot more
is.
People are leaving New York than California. And people on, like, the East Coast are, like, pissed about that because, like, New Yorkers, I imagine, are a lot more obnoxious and annoying than Californians.
And why are you leaving, huh?
I get a lot of quote requests for people shipping cars out of California, and they're just families moving out. Either to, like, Arizona, Texas, Florida.
Arizona's just western or eastern California, if you think about it.
It is true. No, Arizona's great.
And when Californians move to Arizona, They don't like it. They don't like Californians. They think you're ruining like Arizona. They don't like it. They'd be like, what are you doing here, you California? You're trying to make Arizona California.
That's like every state. Like I know in Montana.
Nevada thinks the same.
Or like Idaho or something. Some rural state like that. When they see people with a California license plates, they like vandalize their cars and stuff.
Dang.
There's like a big anti-California sentiment because like these like super rich people who are leaving California are like coming in, like ruining these small towns with like their like gaudiness and stuff like that. And
anyway, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, people don't like
California. It might be good for us because people like leaving the state, maybe real estate prices drop.
Yeah,
we
could
pick up some houses. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Hey, yeah,
buy a house.
But like California is really like a revolving door. There's like 100,000, like it has the largest emigration every year, but also has the highest immigration every year. So a lot of people are coming in, a lot of people are leaving. It's like new IFB churches kind of, if you think about it. So
that's true. And that's good.
Yeah. New blood.
That's how churches are. That's exactly how churches are.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you want to keep more in churches than that which is going out, but you know. And here's the thing, like Hispanics, they don't care. I don't see Hispanics leaving to other states from California. Do you see any of that? I mean,
just white people. from my experience, from the phone calls that
I
get.
I think Mexicans, I wouldn't know, but I've been here just a little bit, but I think, because there's Mexicans like everywhere in the U.S., basically.
Exactly. What are you trying to say? Taking over. Your kind is taking over, boy.
Yeah, Jacob. Right.
What did they say, the 2035 we're going to be like, or 2025 we're going to be like, everybody's going to be Mexican?
Mexico's doing the long con. They're getting all the states back by just coming in.
That's right.
So be it.
No, I don't want to be Mexican.
Speaking of God's judgment, you know, God uses weather, such as, you know, not the tornadoes, hurricanes in the south, by the way.
Yeah. Hurricane.
He gave them two this year at the same time.
Yeah, took them out. Said, bang, bang.
What?
He said he gave them two this year.
There was Michael. Wow.
At the same time.
Michael and another one, right?
Oh, no.
They always, Michael and Barack. Archangel?
Dang. And maybe, Gabriel,
with
right?
Sword
Michael
drawn?
And Gabriel?
Yeah, maybe it was named after him.
Yeah. So he uses weather. He uses, you know, different things, but he also uses animals.
Other nations.
Mm.
And there's a sermon that Pastor Thompson preached on Sunday called The Beast of the Earth. And he actually told me that he was going to preach that sermon a couple weeks ago. It was based upon a book that he was reading. A book inspired him to preach that sermon. And when he told me about it, I got the book and I read it. And I was like, I want to preach this sermon too. But he ended up preaching it before I did. So, but it was really good. I encourage you to go listen to that sermon, The Beast of the Earth. But it's based upon this book called The Man Eaters of Tsavo. And basically it takes place like in 1898. And there is this British colonel whose name was John Henry Patterson, who basically was sent to, I think it was Kenya. It wasn't Kenya at that time, but I think it was that area, to go build a railroad from Kenya to Uganda. And the laborers that he was working with were coolies and Muslims. These are the people who were like the masons creating
the
railway. Is that
coolies? What is that?
They're cool
people. Indians from India.
Oh.
Or like from India. Okay. And so they're building this railroad or whatever, and then all of a sudden men started disappearing from the camp. And it was these two man-eating lions that were taking these men from the camp. And these lions were 3 feet tall and about approximately 10 feet long.
So they're like
from
giant?
Head to rump, 10 feet long. And how much do they weigh? I don't remember how much they weighed, but they're pretty heavy. They're pretty big lions. And over the course of about a year, they basically consumed about 300 people, 300 workers.
Dang.
And they would hunt basically these people like every night. So every night a man was being pulled out of his tent and being eaten. And so this guy, you know, he's just kind of heading up this project of this railway. But then he has to focus his attention on killing these lions because they're killing his workers.
Yeah.
And so he's very brave. He's like, well, I'm the leader here. I'm going to take care of this. So he's trying to hunt them down. But these lions are very unique. They're maneless lions. They're, of course, they're eating men. And they're very cunning. Like, he couldn't capture them. He couldn't shoot them. He couldn't find them. And their attack patterns were always different. So sometimes you can hear them coming because they would roar together. And they're like, they would say, the devils are coming. The demons mm-hmm. are coming. They would roar, and then they would come. And he would be, like, on top of a tree, like, scouting them out. He would sleep during the day so he can stay awake during the night to shoot them with his... I think it was called the 303 double barrel shotgun. And he would just constantly fail because one guy would be dragged out. So they would try all these different things. They would put like a hedge about the camp, and it was like a hedge of thorns. And they just plow right through it, grab a man out of his tent, and just literally yank him through that hedge. And in fact, later on, when they finally killed the tigers, you can see all the scars on the tigers from the hedge of thorns. They just did not care. And so, these lions over a span of like a year killed like 300. I think it was, oh no, I'm sorry. That number's wrong. It's 135 men. But still, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is happening. So sometimes they would roar and come into the camp, or sometimes they just wouldn't announce it at all. sometimes they would take the carcass far away. Sometimes they will only take it a couple yards, and you can hear them eating the individual or whatever. But this happened like for an entire year, every night. So you just imagine these guys are working, and then when nightfall comes, it's just like one of us is going to disappear tonight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because these lions are coming in and just consuming people.
Why was that happening?
Well, there's a couple theories why.
Okay.
And one of the theories was that because after they captured, after this guy, Colonel John Henry Patterson, killed them, because he killed both of them, they examined the bones and they examined the animals or whatever. And one of them had like tooth decay on one of his fangs. I don't know if you call them. They're not canines because they're not dogs. They're
I think cats. You call them fangs.
They're cats. Fangs, right? Cats.
Yeah.
So on his lower right fang, he had tooth decay, and basically the top tooth was digging into his
brain.
Fang.
Oh.
And so because of that, he wasn't able to chew on the hide of an ox or its typical prey. And so it turned to a weaker animal such as man. Mm-hmm. That was one of the theories. The second theory was that basically the coolies and the Muslims are very wicked people. And they would like rob each other and kill each other. And so they would leave their carcass somewhere, and they got a taste for man meat, basically. And that's why they started hunting men. But, you know, Pastor Thompson basically said this, and I agree with him 100%, is that it's just God sending lions among them. And I think the reason for that was because, first and foremost, they're Hindus and they're Muslims, which are just, it's a false religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, they're very violent and murderous people. And I'm not just talking about like in general, I'm talking about this particular group.
This group of like workers.
Yeah, because what happened was, is one of the cameras dead?
No, not
what happened was, when it first started, the lions would come in and they took someone, and then one of the workers said, oh, a lion's, you know, took so-and-so or whatever. Mm. And Colonel John Patterson was like, nah, he's lying. He's just...
Lions don't usually do that, right?
Yeah, he's like, lions don't do that. It's one of the guys, he probably murdered his coworker or whatever because it was something that was common.
So he cried wolf, he cried lion.
Yeah, exactly. But he was telling the truth, though.
Lying.
Yeah, he was lying. But what I'm saying is that Patterson knew that it was commonplace for these coolies and these Muslims to kill each other.
Right.
So it kind of shows the kind of atmosphere they had there. They were very violent. Not only were they thieves, but they were murderers. So they were willing to kill each other for their bounty
or gain.
And then aside from that, I mean, it seemed as though like the solution for these guys, for any problem they had, was murder. Because like they wanted to stop working for Patterson. So I was like, well, let's just kill him. So they conspired to kill the colonel.
Mm.
And this guy was really brave, and someone told him, like, hey, they're conspiring to kill you. Just want to let you know you probably shouldn't go to work tomorrow.
Don't go to work tomorrow.
You shouldn't go to work tomorrow because they're trying to kill you. He's like, ah, I'll be fine. And he went to work, and they told him, like, hey, they're waiting for you. You know, they're laboring, like, but they're waiting for you. Talk about these people,
mm-hmm.
The coolies and the Muslims. So he goes up. He walks up to them. And he basically looks at them, and they're kind of like looking at each other like, all right, we're going to jump this
guy.
We
got him.
And then he just like rebukes them all. And he's just like, you guys are a bunch of idiots. You guys can't kill me. If you kill me, you're going to be hung by the government. And he basically scared them. But this happened a couple times. So it kind of shows you like the type of individuals they were. They were just like violent, you know, murderous people where they're just willing to take people's lives. And so I don't think it's the tooth decay. I don't think it was the fact that they got taste for human meat because of the corpses. Mm-hmm. That could have been part of it. I think the main reason is just God is just judging these men, these coolies, these Hindus, these Muslims, mm-hmm. because they're so wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's biblical.
Yeah.
Let me read you this verse. It says in Leviticus 26, verse 21, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. So God's saying, like, I'll send animals to come kill you if I have to. You know?
Yeah.
And part of God's blessing is that man takes over a land and he just has complete dominion over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have these environmentalists that are against, like, breaking down, you know, tearing down trees and the ecosystem and all that. God's like, have dominion over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because it's when the animals come back. You know, like right now during this whole coronavirus, over in, I think it's in Yellowstone or one of those national parks, there's a big problem. Like the animals have basically taken over. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that no
people
one's
aren't
there.
Going there anymore.
People aren't going there, so yeah. There's more bears, mountain lions, and stuff like that. So it's very dangerous right now. That's part of God's curse.
Yeah.
Because he wants us to have dominion over the land. But the point is that God uses lions to judge people all the time.
Yeah.
Even in the Bible. The young prophet who disobeyed God,
yeah.
A lion rent him in the way.
The children.
The she-bears.
The she-bears that rent, the children who were mocking Elisha. You know, 2 Kings 17 says, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath. And it says, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. I'm reading the wrong verse. Oh, verse 25. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. So he sends animals all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, like, for example, it's interesting because these coolies, which are these Hindus, are the ones that are being slain. But in India, I mean, there's this account that this Bengal tiger, like, slew 400 Indians in India. Yeah. And they actually had to call in the British the military to come and find that.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's like one of the coolest topics, I think. Just like seeing God's hand in like history.
Oh yeah.
Like even that's like a pretty like secluded event. Like it was just like this one group of people or whatever working on this one railway in Africa. But like when you look at like these huge events too, like the Black Death in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and that was like the height of like Catholic idolatry and Catholic power over Europe. And God just it's literally of biblical proportions. He just wipes out 1/3 of the of Europe's
population. And God is the one who's doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He uses all different means to do that.
There's a lot of events like that. One of my favorites is like Pompeii.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was like pagan because it was Roman, right? It was like.
But it was super.
It was super pagan, super wicked.
Super. I mean, they had like sodomy.
Yeah. They worshipped like phallic gods.
Yep.
Yeah. They didn't teach that in school. they didn't teach that. They taught Pompeii, but they didn't teach that in school. No, they're like they're perverts.
The doorknobs, the door handles in Pompeii were made out of that
phallic like objects. Yeah,
and they, disgusting.
And if you go like to their shrines to their pagan goddesses and stuff like that, it's all these statues of like phalluses and stuff like that.
I don't need to go in there.
And so it was actually kind of interesting because like God preserved. Like when he destroyed Pompeii, he preserved everybody and what they were doing. And a lot of people found, like a lot of these like archaeologists and stuff, found like two men embracing each other. When dead as like their last moments and stuff like that. They found like a lot of examples of that. And it was like, once you start seeing the world through like a biblical lens, you start seeing events through like biblical lenses, a lot of stuff opens up. Because people like in like 2 Peter, they're like, they're mocking and they're saying like, oh, where is God and where is his coming? Well, yeah, where's the promise of his coming? But you can see God in like in history in a lot of events.
But even like in India, I think it was in India, there's this like leopard who killed like 430 children. Or no, I'm sorry, 430 people. And most of them were children.
A leopard?
A leopard.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Because the Bible says, you know, it will rob you of your children. You know? And you think of India, India is a wicked nation.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, talk about idolatry. And all the nonsense that goes on there and the filth and just like the hatred of God.
It's like literal filth. Like literal filth. Like they live in filth. Oh, dude, like their holy river, the Ganges, I think.
Their holy river.
They float dead bodies down it and then they also bathe in the Ganges. See what I'm saying?
Defecate in it.
Yeah.
They pee in it.
So that's why God's sending those animals among them to destroy them.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, you know, when you ask people or people have talked about this event regarding the man-eaters of Tsavo, and they'll say, well, it wasn't 135 people. It was more like 35 because when they were captured, they analyzed the hair follicles of the animals of these two lions, and 70% of what they ate was actually herbivores. Only 30% were carnivores. So only 30% were actually men. But the thing is, the vast – like John Henry Patterson said that the majority of the coolies were vegetarian.
Yeah, Hindus are vegetarians.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't.
So it's like more like 100%.
Yeah. They're literally herbivores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably why they were so psychotic.
Oh, yeah. Or probably why God sent the lions among them.
We love animals so much. Yeah. Take some of these, you know.
So they
call me in the morning.
These lions, these
take
lions,
and call me in the morning.
These lions were very like, they were just not only obviously they were dangerous, but they were like they clever. Had these tactics, like the way they would behave and everything.
Clever
was, like,
girl,
they weren't it's vegan. Not, they it's actually not like had normal a brain
lions.
In their head.
They weren't behaving like normal lions. Yeah. And in like, fact, I mean, like these guys raptors. Are idiots though, because they so this guy he built like I don't know what it's called, but it's like a cage. With the wall in between, and they put a bunch of coolies in there because they like to eat the coolies. So these lions, and he gave them, like he gave all three of them these shotguns, and he says, look, man. They're going to come in. As soon as they come in, the door will shut. You just shoot them right. You just stick your rifle right in there, and you just blast them, right? Mm. So sure enough, the lions come, and the door shuts, and they're just going crazy. They shoot, like, multiple times, completely miss the lions.
Dang.
What a shotgun.
No. Not only did they miss the lions, but they shot the lock off.
So allowing the lions them to escape. What the heck?
And they escaped.
And did they kill the guys? Like who were shooting them or no?
Vegans. No, because they're protected in there or whatever. Yeah. So this guy, John Henry Patterson, ends up killing one of the lions, and it was like a major battle with him. But then the second one put up the craziest fight. Because somehow, I don't remember the story exactly, but basically he comes head-to-head with this lion and he shoots him. Or I'm sorry, he's about to shoot him, but then his gun just jams, right? And the previous night, he was in a tree and he shoots him in the leg and the lion takes off running. He's just bleeding, but doesn't die.
Yeah.
So the next day, he sees him face-to-face. He tries to cap him, is not able to shoot him. The gun jams or whatever. But he has his workers with him with rifles. So it jams. And then he reaches over to grab the rifle, but the freaking coolies take off.
They just leave. Run
they're
away.
Scared, so they just run up a tree.
Stinking guys.
Freaking coolies.
So he drops his rifle and he starts running.
That's not coolie of you.
That's not coolie, man. He starts running for the tree, and the lion's like going after him.
Yeah.
And he climbs up the tree and he just yanks one of the rifles from off the one of the workers, and he just aims down and he shoots the lion like multiple times. It took multiple shots to kill that thing.
Dang.
And he finally took him out.
They had pictures of those?
Yeah, they got pictures of them. Yeah,
gonna Google it tonight.
Yeah. Massive lions.
You said there was like a book about this?
It's called Man Eaters of Tsavo. Yeah. It was a really big, not a big event, but I mean, it was just one of those stories throughout history that is just very interesting. But that happens a lot. I think in Rhode Island in the 1800s, there was a shark that was just eating a bunch of people offshore. Tons of people, yeah.
Jaws?
Was that the inspiration for Jaws?
Yeah, that was the inspiration for Jaws. Dang, and really? And by the way, the Man Eaters of Tsavo was the inspiration for a movie called Ghost in the Darkness, and it was a pretty famous film, but that it was about that, pretty crazy. And the thing is, like, female lions, or what do they call them, lioness, they're the ones that hunt,
right?
Yeah, not the males, you know. But yeah, these are the males. The males are the ones who are going in there killing these men.
What do males do then?
They just chill out and take care of the cubs.
Well, it's like opposite.
Like a big animal, like the females will take it down, and then they can't actually kill it because their bite force isn't strong enough. So the male will come in, and like he has like the stronger bite. Yeah. So he'll kill like the op.
He's only called in for like the big shots.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's just chilling.
Yeah.
He's not chilling, man. He's making sure no other lions are coming around trying to mess with the.
Oh, yeah. He's actually like the one who stays back and watches the cubs, make sure you know, and then the I was gonna say the women, the females go out. Sounds bad, huh?
Yeah. Well, they're animals.
Yeah.
There used to be a lion farm here in El Monte.
Yep.
I don't know if people knew that.
Yeah, the MGM lion came from El Monte.
Yeah.
Didn't they get out or something at one point?
Yeah, there was one time where the lions escaped. There's actually like lions in the street during that time.
there's a lion in the street.
Yeah. This was in the Roaring Twenties too. So
last week we had hippos in Colombia. This week we got lions in. In California.
They're like, go to work. I'm like, no, there's a lion. There's a lion.
There was one case where they were transporting this lion, I think, I forgot, like across the country. And the plane broke down and it crash landed in Texas. And so these cowboys were trying to go get it to like make profit of it, basically keep it as hostage and make this guy pay for like a
ransom.
Yeah.
The guy here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so, but they were too scared actually to go in there to go try to capture
well,
it.
Well, if you go... What street is it?
Peck
Road?
Oh.
You'll see a monument dedicated to the lion farm.
Yeah,
right there.
They say that you hear the
wars. It's called like Gay something. It's
Gay's Lion Farm.
That's the guy's name.
Oh, Gay's Lion, right? Yeah. Gay's Lion Farm or something?
They weren't gay lions. Rar.
That's an unfortunate Rar. Name. Well, I mean, gay just means happy, right?
Yeah. Rar.
Rar.
It's a gay lion. Mm.
Hey, what's up with your lions?
When they kill those lions.
Why is he roaring like that, dude?
The chemicals in the water turn your lions gay.
Did you get this thing from San Francisco?
It's a Portland lion. Yeah.
It's a Portland lion. The crazy thing is when they shot those lions and they examined them, they're like, man, these are some well-fed lions. And they just like,
from like from captivity or oh, you're talking about the Tsavo.
Yeah, the
oh,
Tsavo lions. Oh, okay. They weren't like, oh man, these things are struggling to eat. They're like well-fed lions. Dang. And they're so ferocious and like capturing people, they just did not care. It's just really crazy how they just went through thorns and everything, just dragged people out.
Yeah.
I think they said that, you know, because some people were like, man, if that lion was dragging me, man, I'd just be poking that thing in the eye. But they compared it to like having your leg caught in a vise and being pulled by a car at like 30 miles an
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, you can't Dang. Even like, you can't pull yourself up.
Yeah, yeah, you're going so fast. It's like
yeah. So did anything come out of like that event? Like did the workers, did they get sent back to like India or whatever? Yeah, did they finish?
I think
work?
They still finished. Mm. And the thing is, like, how do you like, how do we conclude what God was doing there? Probably just God sent them there just to kill him.
Or it's just a punishment.
Yeah, it's a punishment. Yeah. And even though the lions were killed,
They still took out a lot.
They still took out 135. And you know what? That's still the long suffering of God towards those who weren't killed.
Yeah.
So they should have seen that and be like, man, God did. Because here's the thing: they said themselves, the devils are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And what does the Bible compare?
The demons are coming. The devils are coming. That's what they would call them, the devils and the demons.
That's like a parallel, too, between like the she-bears that killed the 42 kids. A lot of people say like it wasn't just a group of 42 children. It was a lot bigger group, but yeah. God only killed like the 42.
Right.
So like it was like a huge gang or something like that.
Think ye that you are sinners above the rest,
mm-hmm.
but except that you repent, ye shall likewise perish. You know?
Man.
It's one of those things. But... yeah, man. I mean, God uses the animals.
Yeah.
God uses animals to kill people, you know. And not just lions. I mean, just any kind of beast. Snakes.
Yeah. Actually, the number one killer in Africa is hippos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would think it's a lion or alligator.
They can run faster.
Remember how you mentioned, or one of you guys mentioned, that hippos are like wreaking havoc in Colombia?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably because of what Pablo Escobar did.
Yeah.
Because of all the wickedness.
Yeah, and he brought him.
Well, here's the thing. If they're wreaking havoc today, it would make a lot of sense because they idolize him still.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They see him as a hero, yeah, in Colombia. And God's like, if you want to idolize a wicked individual, okay, then I'm going to send the hippos among you guys.
He's the saint of cocaine or something?
King Tutankhamun was actually killed by a hippopotamus.
Really?
Yes. Crushed his skull.
Dude, those things, I was watching a video of a hippo just chomping down on a watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
Can watch that for days.
People think like, oh, lions are like the worst in Africa, or
hippos.
Crocodiles.
Hippos kill the most people. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hippos are like the gangsters.
Yeah,
of
they're
Africa.
Like swimming the midst
dude,
of
they're
like alligators. Yeah.
I've seen a hippo like just break a crocodile in half.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm.
They're like not afraid of crocodiles at all.
It's literally like a giant tank with like their mouth is huge. It's like this big. It's like 10, like 6
well, their
feet
their teeth are like
yeah, dude,
huge.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I seen one where this crocodile just went in the midst. I don't know what they call them, pods or something.
Yeah.
And he went into the wrong neighborhood, man. And they bit his mouth.
Oh, like the watering hole. They
and
like,
basically, you know, the top of his mouth is just completely gone. It just maimed him. So he only has like his lower jaw. So he's just gonna starve to death.
Useless.
Basically.
Wait, the hippo bit off the top of his mouth.
Yes.
What the top heck? Half of his.
Make an example out of him.
What the heck? Yeah.
Maimed him.
Yeah.
Maimed him. Yeah. And I've seen one hippo go into like the midst of like a bunch of crocodiles, and he just punks them all. He's just like, move out of my way. Like, they just move out of his way.
Yeah.
Because they're very strong and they're fast too.
People think they're like friendly. That's the problem. They're like the most vicious animal in there.
And they're fast. Like on land, they're fast.
They
run fast.
But are they like herbivores or what? Or do they just kill as like.
They're herbivores.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just kill like for like defend. Yeah. They kill for fun. Yeah.
What did you tell me about in India, those drunk elephants?
Yeah, elephants that get drunk. They, like, eat all the field of, like, grapes. I don't know what some fruit.
Yeah.
And they get drunk and destroy towns.
seen that.
Call me Dumbo.
Knocking cars up. Well,
let's go, boys.
It's easy for them to destroy the towns because the towns are all made out of like sheet metal and
stuff. Like favelas.
Yeah. Indian slums. But still, elephants are dangerous, man.
Elephants are a cool
animal.
And
then this is in India.
India and Africa.
I mean, come on. That's God right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get these.
Isn't one of the gods like an elephant?
In India, yeah.
Ganesh.
Yeah. I always see like that elephant head with like the four arms or whatever.
Yeah.
So Guru? Weird. Or was it not Goro?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From Mortal Kombat?
Shiba?
Goro. Shiba was the other one, female one, right?
I never played
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, scary.
Shiba was
Remember
Goro.
I sent you that
Mom.
Video of that
but
alligator?
But it's like, so if they think that elephant is a god, that's probably what they think is coming at them is like,
yeah, yeah. Our god is
mad.
Our god got drunk again.
Is your god drunk? Is he sleeping? Dang, dude.
India is like,
yeah, India's crazy.
There's people that go to the street corners, right? And they have a cow, and you pay them. You pay them so you could worship their cow.
Don't they wash themselves and piss? Yeah.
It's like a what a racket, you know.
Aren't they like disgusting. Starving
business
in India?
Opportunity
that's
right there.
Yeah,
they're literally starving,
they have like
and
giant...
they have this cow walking.
It's crazy.
By. It's like no wonder this is coming upon them.
It's so foolish, dude.
I feel like India just stinks. Like
it does.
Like,
it
does.
Everybody
it,
who
like,
goes there says like if they come from like a Western country or whatever, they say
it's not
it smells
even
like
that,
crap.
Dude.
This curry spice blend that Indians use, it cooks into the walls.
Yeah.
And where I come from, in Vancouver, Canada, there's tons of Indians, like tons of Sikhs and Hindus. And whenever whenever you're renting a house,
the walls are edible.
Whenever you're renting a house, the house could have been empty for like a year, but you know, like an Indian lived here because the smell does not come out of the walls. You have to tear down the what do you call it, the drywall or whatever, and put up a new one for the smell to go away.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah,
so
it's in the insulation.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I don't know if it's legal, but I knew a guy up in Vancouver who like never rented to Indians because like if they came like fresh off the boat or whatever. He never rented to Indians because, you know, it's the same. Yeah, he didn't want to rent to Indians because, he wouldn't be able to rent it again unless it was to another Indian because the smell would just get sunk into the walls.
Man.
Stinks.
Wasn't Pastor Anderson talking about a place in India that was
Baptist.
Like, had Baptists and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Nagaland.
Yeah.
Where's that, northern India?
Yeah, it's in, like, northeastern India. Mm. And like a Baptist missionary went there in like the 1900s or like the 1800s, and he just got like a bunch of people saved.
Isn't there a lot of Muslims over there as well?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I heard there's parts of India that's just very antagonistic towards Christianity. Like they'll like beat you up and kill you. Over
oh yeah.
There.
I think it's less so the Muslim areas, more so the Hindu areas.
Oh man.
The
Sikhs are weird because they like worship. Like one god, and they say like we worship the same god as you, and like all that stuff. So
it's disgusting. They eat their own crap and everything. What's those guys' name? The guys that eat their own crap.
Yeah, the guys in like
eat trash,
like the cannibal guys.
Yeah, they'll eat the skull.
The guys in like
the
southern India.
Disgusting, man. They're just filthy. Yeah,
it,
you haven't seen the documentary.
Yeah, there's like a documentary about these like gurus or like these magi's or whatever the hell
they get
call
to
themselves.
This certain level where they like they eat trash and then they'll eat their own dung.
It's a BBC.
You should make a meme out of that. But that one meme where it's like he's enlightened a little bit and then more and more and more, and his brain just explodes, and he's eating his own crap.
But it was like a BBC documentary, and like the guy who was like with them was like, "Wow, this is so cool!
Didn't
this
he
is
get
so
like,
cultured."
He ate flesh,
yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
And he got
cannibalized
like a bunch of
himself
from it.
Disgusting, man.
When in India, eat human beings.
Well, we were gonna discuss DMT, but I don't think we have enough time for that. And I don't know if.
Well, Hindus.
They do DMT.
They do, but it's like from natural sources or whatever, and that's where they see all these gods. All the or not gods, but like these demons.
Yeah, the gods.
Yeah,
lowercase g, right?
Yeah, and that's why their Indian gods look so freakish to us. Like it's like comes out of like some weird demonic.
Well, that's probably exactly what they look like, though.
Yeah, and people who have done DMT, like Westerners, like not Indians, who do like the pure like DMT, they see the same things. They see like the same like machine elves and like Baphomet and like they say it looks like these Hindu gods. That's why so many of these hippies that do drugs get into like Hinduism and like Eastern religions, because that's what the gods they see look like.
Yeah, that's probably what Satan looks like. It's like Baphomet.
Yeah,
because you think of like where does that image come from, that's probably actually what his image is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's angels in heaven that look like beasts, lions and ox.
They have
eagles.
Two faces.
Yeah, four faces, one of a man.
Yeah.
And they have this, what is it called? Anthropomorphic figure, right? Where they have like a body of a man, the face of an animal. Mm-hmm. And that's basically Baphomet right there. So when they do those types of drugs, it kind of opens up their mind to the spirit realm. Yeah. Where they're able to see those things, you know? That's scary.
And it's crazy because like a lot of them say they see like a being of light.
Well, yeah. The person I know that actually has done ayahuasca, which can be synthesized into DMT. Yeah, she said that she's seen a beam of light, yeah. And it was so bright that it burned her skin.
Yeah.
And basically what this beam, this angel of light, you know, go figure, you know, said unto her that all the paths in her life that she could have taken, the one that she took was the correct one. Mm. You know, so it could just be like her own conscience trying to justify herself or something like that. But it also could have just been some devil.
Right. Well,
I'm sure it was a devil.
Yeah. He's like, you know, keep
working
going.
Working in tandem with your conscience.
Keep going the road you're going. You're going the right way. Don't change. Yeah. You're right in your own eyes. Do more DMT.
And she's convinced. This woman is convinced that it's like a religious experience. And the person that she was there with was like barking like a dog and throwing up. And like, you know, it's crazy. And they didn't have any restrooms there where they went. And they're just like crapping in buckets and stuff. And This was in California. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, you know this?
I know this person. Yeah, that was involved.
He's all. Yeah. It was me.
It was some Skid Row junkie. I was talking
Skid Row. It was actually down the street.
Just a few blocks from down here.
Well, I heard anybody who does DMT basically, they all see the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see like there's like four or five different beings that they see. Mm. And they all
like all the drawings that people would draw after they get off DMT, like, they all look the same as well.
I think the CIA like did that, like did tests with that in like the when they were doing like all that MK Ultra stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they did tests with the LSD?
Yeah, but they also did some with DMT. The DMT. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was part of the same program, but basically they were like weirded out to find out like all these people had the same visions, but they just chalked it up to like chemicals and like the chemicals make these shapes or whatever. But it's like
that's weird.
These shapes are talking to you and saying like the same thing, and it's like it's hella weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's like hallucinogens.
It's sad because like if you think about it, like 100 years ago, if somebody was like doing that, like doing DMT, or maybe not 100 years ago, but like a long time ago, if they were doing DMT and they were seeing these beings and like they were communing with devils, they'd just be put to death.
Yeah.
Even in America.
Well, I'm sure there's people who did do that back in the day. I'm sure a lot of those drugs existed back then.
Yeah, well, they can be found in natural sources.
Yeah.
Or like peyote. Peyote. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Indians did, right?
Yeah. What's that one from South America? Is that ayahuasca? Yeah.
Ayahuasca, peyote. That's crazy.
You can also get it from like mushrooms, like just. Anyway.
Yeah, I knew a guy who did shrooms, and he like
they get stuck in that.
Isn't it called psilocybin or something like that? Yeah.
He thought he was a spider.
He thought he was a spider.
Yeah.
Was like, he
not Spider Man, but just a spider?
Yeah, and he was like trying to crawl into a web and everything. It was just like, I think I had just gotten saved, and I got this guy saved, but he was like doing shrooms. Now he didn't get saved doing shrooms.
Whoa.
Like, he got saved and then later on, and then he did shrooms because that was just he's part of that life.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him, and he was just, like, on shrooms. I was like, hey, what's up? He was like, Bruce!
Hold on, I'm eating this fly.
Like, what the heck? Hold on, I'm building a web real quick.
He's like,
hold on, I'm giving birth to hundreds of little spiders.
That stuff's not fake, man.
It's real.
I think you actually see spiritual beings, and that's when you communicate with devils and all that, you know?
Yeah. So. A lot of this is being pushed. We were talking about how like veganism is being pushed by like Hollywood and celebrities and stuff like that, and how that's kind of probably going to be tandem in like the new world religion. This like DMT stuff is too, because this stuff is like explicitly like spiritual.
Well, like, I mean, like everything like from the that side of the world is like being pushed over yoga, veganism,
sensory deprivation.
Yeah,
is that wicked?
Well, yeah, God gave you senses. Why do you want to deprive yourself of it? Any of your senses?
Yeah,
because you make sense of things with your
senses.
Well,
here's the thing is,
I guess so, but like, it like is it like?
In my opinion, I think it is demonic because
really
some of the things that people talk about, like I'll give you an example. There's a person who was in our church who did the sensory deprivation, and he said he was like it was a trip. He's like, and this is before he was saved, and he said that there's a point in his vision or whatever that he thought he was an alligator, and he was just like kind of going through like water. He's like, oh man, I'm an alligator. And he talked about some other stuff, but I mean, this is like demonic stuff.
Do you just like, what is it? Is it like you're hallucinating basically?
I think what it is that they put you in this
dark room.
Yeah, dark room. You're floating in water. Mm-hmm. You're floating in water, which salt is salt water, water, so you can float. And it's a dark room so that you're just completely soundproof. So you're just deprived of all your senses. You can't see anything. There's no sound, so you can't hear anything. And you're only feeling the water. So after a while, you just feel like you're just in a different realm, basically. And I don't know why people do it, to be honest with you. Like,
where does it come from? Who like, is this?
I'm not
like
sure. But I know people use it in tandem with DMT, though.
To get into, well, like, yeah, the
Joe Rogan
realm.
He talks about doing that, like,
yeah,
like doing some DMT and then and going to sensory deprivation,
like meditation.
Yeah,
right.
It's like ungirding your mind, basically.
Right. I don't think it's a good thing to do. You know, I think it's like he said, like God gave us our senses for a reason. We're supposed to be vigilant,
right?
You know, and in order to be vigilant, your senses have to be operating at maximum.
Yeah, like basically, the Bible says, like, gird up the loins of your mind.
Exactly.
You know, that's when you take all your senses away.
Yeah, you can't do
just
that.
Just let your mind free.
Is it like your mind like freaking out or something like that, trying to create something?
Or is it
demonic like experience?
I don't know.
Simulating a dream.
I think it creates imaginations is what it does. Mm. And things that exalt itself against
vain
the knowledge
thoughts.
Of God.
So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Yeah. Yep. So I think when you do something like sensory deprivation, you kind of open yourself up to demonic oppression. Mm. Because it's when your imagination is just allowed to roam free. Mm-hmm. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we're constantly, obviously we're not always going to be thinking about the Word of God, but the times when we're not thinking about the Word of God, we're supposed to be vigilant.
Yeah, we should be, obviously.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, there's times when you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
God doesn't necessarily expect for us to think about the Word of God 24/7 because we got to work, we got to care for our children, and we're not, you know, necessarily thinking about those things. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, times when we're not specifically thinking about the Word of God, we're supposed to be, like, aware and vigilant. You know what I mean? So I think when you put yourself in a situation like that, you can't do that. And you're not allowed to. You're not supposed to allow your imagination to roam free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're supposed to
cast down imaginations.
Cast down imaginations, and you know the Bible says that there are many devices in the heart of a man, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Mm-hmm. You know, and keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, you know, I just think it's not a good thing to do. And I've just heard too many stories about people using it in tandem with drugs. And then the visions that they see, even if they're not wicked, it's just like, it's just weird.
Right.
It probably takes you into another realm of thinking where, well, maybe it's not bad to smoke weed or drink or whatever, you know? So I don't think, have you ever done it or something?
No, I've never done it.
He's like, I was actually planning to go right now.
Yeah, I mean, I got to cancel my appointment, I guess.
So Louisa, cancel my appointment?
I guess it's kind of like the same realm or same like, as like astral projection is what people call it, or like lucid dreaming, when people like try to like control their dreams and control their imaginations to create like different realities or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a person in church I also know that did that, that got really into lucid dreaming, and he was saying that he would see like hyper realistic dreams, because sometimes when you're a dream, you know you're in a dream, right? But he would see like an anatomically correct hearts, like, and he doesn't know what a heart looks like.
Then
like,
how does he know it's correct?
Well, because you no, but you can look it up after. You can see, like, well, that's exactly what I was looking at. And there was like all sorts of like weird symbolism in his dreams, and he get like tossed to and fro from like place to place. Nolan,
I think we should call it a night.
Reviews,
Rod of Iron movie edition.
I think we should call it a night.
What would you give? How many
Thank
stars?
You, gentlemen, for joining us on the podcast. By the way, folks, make sure you. Obviously, you can watch this on YouTube, but you can also go on our website, fwbcla.org, and you can click on the podcast section, and you can just play the playlist of all the podcasts. It's all on there. And so that's pretty much it. Have a good night.
Bye.